my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholds me. Father, today I pray that you'll add blessings to the readings of your word. Open the hearts, minds, and souls of those under the sound of my voice. Let there be a new thing. Restore them. Heal them. Strengthen them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, open this atmosphere to the revelation of your word. In every spirit that is hostile to it, we exercise dominion and command them to be driven out in Jesus' name. Now let there be a cloud of angelical witnesses among us, that they will assist us in all manner of life. And we will praise you. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. This wasn't part of my notes, but I'm going to go there. There's a particular story in the book of Joshua. We find there the very ending of Moses' life in his witness of his leadership in the Bible. And we begin to see the new thing taking place where Joshua now is about to take over as leader of the children of Israel. Joshua. Moses' spiritual son. He relied on Moses. Trusted Moses. All Joshua had to do was what Moses told him to do. Oh, what a secure place in God. But a time came when his spiritual father had to go home and he would be left in charge. I can imagine high levels of insecurity hitting Joshua. Millions of people that followed them, murmuring, complaining, wanting to kill Moses. Can you imagine some of the things that Joshua was hearing and finding out in the journey from Egypt to the land of Canaan? The plots and strategies, the coup d'etats that were being planned to destroy Moses in the middle of the wilderness, and now his spiritual father leaves and he's now in charge. Are they going to surely kill me because they strategized to kill my spiritual father? Imagine Joshua saying, would to God I died a long time ago. then this heavy obligation wouldn't be on my shoulders right now. Nevertheless, Father God, who knows us, the Bible says he knows what we have need of even before we ask. He watched his spiritual father climb that mountain, knowing that he would never return. Not knowing, but having a suspicion that he would have to lead from that moment forward. When we pick it up in the book of Joshua chapter 1, we find that there were specific things that God begins to tell Joshua in order to maintain momentum, in order to not grow weary, in order to continue to fight, in order to keep moving forward. I want to tell you today, keep moving forward. Keep fighting. Dig your heels in. Don't allow life to push you over or to push you back. It's time for you to recognize God has given you marching instructions. He's given you a plan. And if God has given you a plan, there is nothing, no one that can prevent the plans for your life from coming to pass. Surely Joshua walked out under the dark clouds looking towards the stars of heaven, pleading with God, if it's got to be me, give me wisdom. If it's got to be me, give me patience. If it's got to be me, give me boldness. Today, some of you are finding yourself in places where you need these things. You haven't had anybody to speak into your life. You've been laid back saying, God, let this thing blow over. God doesn't want it to blow over. He wants to blow something into you. What you're going through is going to bring the best out of you. It's not going to make you bitter. It's going to make you better. Verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. I speak to you today. You must go over this Jordan. What has died and is trying to hold you down will live again. You must cross this Jordan. You cannot die going through this financial trouble. You cannot die going through this marital weariness. You cannot die going through this financial attack. You cannot die. You must go over Jordan. Your reward will be there if you can but endure. Nudge your neighbor while they're trying to doze off on you. Tell them, say, you got to endure. The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou, and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Some of you don't recognize the only reason why you're going through opposition is because in that opposition there are things that belong to you that you won't go voluntarily to get. I'm going to say that one more time. Many of you, the only reason why you're going through high levels of opposition is because in the middle of the opposition there are things that belong to you that you will not go and take possession of willingly. So you find yourself in the middle of the wilderness trying to get your mind back, trying to get your dignity back, trying to get your peace back, trying to get your joy back, trying to get your perseverance back. The wilderness is the best place for you, because if you don't, when you take possession of the promise, you'll lose it because you didn't go through the process to lose the things, amen, that will rob you of the promises that God gave to you. Yeah. I'm going to encourage you through this process. I'm on there. Everything the devil has taken from you and took it to a dark place, you're going to go into that dark place with joy. You're going to go into that dark place with peace. And you're going to take back everything that belongs to you. Come on. That he's believing you are fearful of. Yeah. Yeah. I just don't want to face the banker. I just don't want to face my wife. I don't want to face my husband. I don't want to face the doctor. I don't want to face. But you're going to go in there and you're going to take possession of your healing. You're going to take possession of that loan. You're going to take possession of what the devil tried to rob you of. You're going to take possession of it today. Joshua had to get to that point and recognize that by God, he was going to bring him in as a troop. And he thought he was going to be the one plundered, but I'm telling you, you're about to plunder the devil, and the devil is not going to plunder you. Every place the sole of your feet shall tread, God says, I'm giving it to you. Even as I told my servant Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Thou shalt not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, verse 6, I want you to look at this, because this is the word of the Lord to you. Be strong. Nudge your neighbor and tell him you got to be strong through this. Listen, some people lose the fight before the first punch is thrown. You got to be strong. Back where I come from, the fight ain't over till some licks been thrown. You're going to have to prove, listen to me here. Wolf tickets don't get you nothing where I come from. Nothing but a fight. Where I come from, the moment you start talking, there was a few people that would stand up to challenge what you got to say. I'm not going to lay down at your conversation. Turn to somebody and tell them, you got to be strong. We know you got more bills than money. You still got to be strong. We know what the doctor done said. You still got to be strong. We know that the loan officer laughed at you and told you to go someplace when you went there. You still got to be strong. Come on, somebody. If you're not strong, you don't give God the opportunity to work. You don't give God the time to prove he is your exceeding and great reward. You don't give God time to prove he's a supernatural God. You have to recognize you must what? Be. Now, not only do you have to be strong, you need to be of good courage. You got to be of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Some of us go into battles with a negative attitude. We go down to the bank, you know, y'all just hurry up with this. I know you ain't gonna give me the loan. Hurry up with this. You're supposed to be there to get you a loan. You had to hurry up with this, man. I'd have been turned down 3 times. Hurry up with this, right? You go to the doctor's office. Yeah, I'm expecting at least 2 or 3 more prescriptions. Where's my other prescriptions? Yeah, right? So what I want you to recognize, you have to not only be bold and be of good courage, but you also have to what? You have to be strong and of good courage. You got to be strong and of good courage. Strong and of good courage. It's very, very important for us, in order for us to get through these times of spiritual dryness, to be a people who understand we must be strong and that we must have good courage. Right? It goes as far as to say, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land. So those people, amen, who are strong and have good courage, they're the ones that shall receive an inheritance. They're the ones that shall receive an inheritance. Not the naysayers, not the people that are hung down, that are depressed, those that are going through, oh, woe is me. Amen. We've covered this before. The book of Psalms chapter 82 says, God dwells amongst the mighty. Amen. So you need to be bold. You need to be courageous, because God stands at the ready for those people who are, amen, strong and courageous. Are y'all here with me? Am I in the house yet? Hallelujah. So we got to get this in our spirit. All right? Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You know, oftentimes when we find ourselves in a tough place, one of the first things we give up on is the word of God. Here in this particular passage, the Lord tells us no matter what we're going through, you got to be like his servant Moses, who held fast to the word of God. What we often find ourselves do is cheating, amen, to get ahead. Yeah, we find ourselves having more bills than we have money, so we look to rob a bank. We look to rob Peter to pay Paul. We look to borrow money. We have no intentions on paying back. We do things that we should not do. But God says we got to hold fast to the word like his servant Moses did. This was the word that was given to Joshua, who was about to take over, amen, leadership for over 2 million people. All you are responsible for is yourself. And I'm telling you, hold fast to the word of God in spite of what, amen, is taking place in your life. Amen. The Bible makes it clear to us he's going to prosper us. Amen. But every time you look at your checking account, you think there was someone else that has your account number. You'll get that in a minute. You got to hold on to God, because God says he will prosper you. Amen. Not only that, but some of us, we're going through different struggles and trials over our physical bodies, whether it's something as simple as a migraine headache or something as advanced as cancer or high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, whatever it may be. You got to recognize, what does the word of God say about it? It says in Isaiah 53, he was wounded. So I got to keep my feet firmly planted upon the word of God, because as I continue to speak the word of God, either God's word or what I'm currently going through is going to win out. I've got to speak those things that be not as though they were. So in my season of dryness, I cannot speak about the dryness. I must speak, this is a season of fruitfulness. This is a season of increase. It's a season of multiplication. You understand what I'm talking about. So you got to recognize that when you find yourself going through seasons of dryness, you cannot be in agreement with the dryness. You've got to speak in opposition to the dryness. I know some of you will say, I just called it like it is. Well, let me tell you something. If you keep calling it like it is, you'll always have what you currently got. If I'm looking for something different than what I have now, I got to change my vocabulary. I got to speak about different things. Are you here with me? Amen. So I'm focused now of speaking about my destiny instead of speaking about my journey. Woo-wee. I'm trying to help you. Some of y'all are reveling in the process when you should be getting expedited to the destiny. I don't need to revel in all the times I bump my head. In fact, I'm trying to get over some of those knots that I took. Come on, somebody. And I want to focus like Apostle Paul does. Apostle Paul says, I have learned to forget all of those things of the past, that I may press forward into the high calling that be of Christ Jesus. So if I'm going to, amen, get through my seasons of dryness, I've got to learn how to speak about my destination instead of my process to the destination. I got to stop talking, amen, about the imagination sandwiches. Ham and cheese and iceberg lettuce and mayonnaise on both sides of the bread. I see a knife going down the middle of it. Make me cut this message short. So I want to empower and talk about the sandwich, come on, and not about how it's necessarily made. I want to get there so that I can begin to enjoy, amen, the sandwich, so I can enjoy my Canaan. Joshua, who knew he had a responsibility from getting Israel from one side to the other side. And do you know sometimes that the most difficult part of the journey is when you can see what you want? When Joshua took over, it was right when they got to the brink where they could see Canaan. Some of you can see the job. You can see the house. You can see the car. You can see the degree. Come on, I got some college students here. They can see the degree. And they can see. You can see your marriage healed. You can see your body whole. You can see yourself walking like you've never walked before. Excited like you've never been excited. But it seems so far away. He speaks to his servant, Joshua. The Lord does. He tells them, be strong and be courageous, man. Verse 7 again. Only be thou strong. What is God saying? I'm going to fight the battle for you. I didn't tell you to knuckle up with the devil. I said, be strong. When you show up, that's going to be your strength. And when you show up, I'm going to show up in you. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is within the world. Some of us, our biggest struggle is that when opposition comes, we're afraid to face the opposition. When things get tough, we don't even want to show up. If you just show up down at the banker will amend the agreement so that you can make the payments. But the devil got you so terrified, you won't even go down to the bank. The devil called, amen, through a doctor, you think it. Dr. Devil. He left a message on your answer machine. You recognize the number, so you're afraid to hit play so you can hear what he's saying. He trying to tell you ain't nothing wrong with you. Come down here. Hey, amen. Let me give you a new diet and you good to go. And you like, oh, it's over. It's curtains for me. I know it's it. I had a dream about it. The devil is a lie. Only be courageous. Be strong. Face it head on. God is your exceeding and great reward. He's going to see you through. Many of us, we miss it because we don't have faith. The devil is working and going through all the doors of doubt, unbelief, reasoning, lack of faith, and he's bombarding and attacking us. This is why he makes it clear to Joshua, only be thou strong. Here's another thing. Why would God say, only be thou strong, if there weren't going to be any opposition? Some of us, we look strange when things go bad. Can you believe I've got a bill and don't have enough money for it? I just can't believe it. Can you believe I've got this ache in my back and it won't go away? Unbelievable. So if God says, only be thou strong, you need to know you need to be strong because something is coming. So let me speak over you right now. The opposition that you're going through, God already knew was coming. But he's already given you the resolution. This thing, oh God, this thing ain't going to kill you. It's not going to destroy you. God knew before it hits you. He just told you, be strong. That's it. Stand firm-footed. Come on. Stand flat-footed. Come on, somebody. That's all you got to do. Joshua. He's looking at all them people, and some of them folk that tried to kill Moses is now trying to be his best friend as leader. You know how it worked. You saw him try to kill the other leader, but now you're the leader, and now they're smiling at you. So Joshua, you know where he was. Well, we ain't got no lamps out here. As soon as it gets dark, it's curtains for me. Drop down to verse 8. Still talking about how we're going to get through spiritual dryness. Here's one of the first things we have to do. The Bible says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. All right? For those of you that are going through season of dryness, I believe that one of the main reasons why you're going through season of dryness is because you're not using words to bring rain. Your words will either bring dryness or your words will bring rain. So you got to learn how to begin to use words, God's word, to create rain or precipitation in your life. The words you speak will bring dryness into your life or will bring waters, will bring rain to your life. What have you been speaking about your marriage? What have you been speaking about your physical body? What have you been speaking about your thought process? What have you been speaking about the home you want, the car you want? What have you been speaking about the pay increase you want? It'll never happen to me. And you know, it's always been like this all my life. I don't know why I even stay at this job. It's just that, well, they're getting ready to fire you because of your words. I just can't stand this, and I can't stand that. This old house I got, and that's why I don't hardly sweep it. Well, the Bible says you got to be faithful over the small thing, but the reason why you don't have a new house is because you refuse to sweep the little one you got. You got to use words. Come on, somebody. Well, I'm gonna treat my car better when I get a new one. Well, you're gonna get a skateboard when you get through with this car. That's what you're gonna get. You're gonna get you a unicycle. When you get through with this car, God's gonna say, I should have never gave that to you. You're gonna have to treat a skateboard right, and then we'll work on another car. Touch your neighbor and say, we gotta use our words, man. You gotta use your words. Because some of us, amen, we're in a dry season. We're in a dry season, but our words are making it drier. Oh, some of us are, oh God, some of us don't recognize that we're our worst enemy. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I know what the doctor said, but I know what the great physician said about that. I know what the credit report said, but I recognize that I've got somebody that will supersede the credit report. You hear me? I want you to recognize that you can change your circumstances and situations by the word of God. You got to speak those things that be not as though they were. You see? And some of us, we consider that to be lying. That's not lying. Lying, listen close. What lying is speaking things that are as if they were not. Speaking things that are as if they are not is a lie. Speaking things that be not as though they were is the equivalent of decreeing or prophesying. I got to break this down a little slower for you because some of us, you look at me, wait a minute now, Apostle, that's a lie, ain't it? No, it's not a lie. Wait a minute, Apostle, telling me to lie. No, I'm telling you to lie. The Bible tells us from the very beginning the things that were not were spoken into existence. Lord said, let there be light, even though there was no light. And light had to come because of his word. Book of Hebrews tells us that, you know, all of creation was created from things that did not exist. So how can you speak of things that did not exist? Because when he spoke it, they had to exist because he spoke those things that be not as though they were. So he saw in his mind and began to speak it. You got to see yourself out of debt and speak it. You got to see yourself in that new house and speak it. You got to see yourself driving that new car and speak it. You got to see yourself healthy and whole and begin to speak it. You got to speak those things that be not as though they were. All right, let's get reading. So the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. You want to come out of dryness? You got to learn to meditate. Not only speak, but meditate. Come on, somebody say meditate.
Meditate.
Bible makes it clear to us. David himself says in the book of Psalms, he meditates day and night. He prevents himself from going to sleep by meditating in the word of God. Some of us are dry because we don't meditate. Meditation allows you to possess what you don't currently have. Meditation also allows you to begin to understand resources that you have access to that currently you don't believe. You've got to take time to not only speak, but you got to meditate. Meditate has the power of changing the internal climate so that things that don't exist can. Some of us, we can't possess things we desire because the climate inside is hostile to the things of God instead of friendly to the things of God. It's the equivalent of trying to grow a palm tree here, amen, in Illinois. We don't have the climate to grow palm trees. Well, some of us don't have the climate to grow homes or cars. Some of us don't have the climate to get healed. Some of us don't have the climate to get a new job or promotion. You have to have the right climate. Meditation creates a climate that things you desire can manifest. Touch your neighbor and tell them, say, you need a climate for things to manifest. Meditation does that for you. Am I boring you? I'm trying to move you out of that place of dryness. See, if you're in a place of dryness, what will happen to you, if you remain there too long, you just accept it. You just accept it. This is how it is. This is how it's going to be. I came into this raggedy house, and I guess that's what, you know, your words will just kill you, you know. And I came into this raggedy house. I guess I'm gonna be in this raggedy house forever. Amen. And that house has an obligation to remain raggedy. Did y'all hear me? Now the house, because death and life is in the power of your tongue, your house, it is illegal for your house to no longer be raggedy. Because you spoke it into it. So where you are has a